Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday afternoon, and this is Pause IM Radio. We're excited to be on the air and hosted by Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for today's program are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. We'll be taking your calls and speaking with our featured member of the week. We encourage all of our listeners to phone in and share some of your life experiences. The number to call is 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause IM Radio.
Good evening, everyone. How you doing? This is Pause IM Radio. This is Robert, your host. I'm joined by my co-host, Jeremy Dunn. Jeremy, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. That was a close one.
I know. I'm sitting here dead after that. I'm like, oh, gosh.
I got to call in, too.
See what happens?
Yeah, right.
You know, you're sitting there chatting, you're doing other things, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I got that to do.
So how was your
Oops.
Weekend?
Gosh, the weekend was really busy. Saturday morning, got up really early, took my car in, had to get the oil changed, the tires rotated, the oil changed, you know, all that stuff. But they had to get it in like at 7 or so in the morning, so I had to get up at like 6. Then my partner Mark, he had a volunteer thing to do, so he did that in the morning. Then we had the Proposition 8 protest and rally here in Charlotte, and that went till about 3:30 or 4. Then we came back here, had a really quick power nap, and then went to a Checkers game, which is a hockey game, and we were there till 9. What's that?
Why do you call it Checker?
Because that's our, that's the team name, the Charlotte Checkers.
Is that like NFL? NHL?
I don't know.
Is it like pro hockey?
It's pro hockey. I don't know if it's minor or major. I'd have to look again.
Oh, I'm curious. I've never heard of the Checkers. I haven't paid attention to the hockey anyway, so for all I know, it could be. But
hockey's
go on, sorry.
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
Hockey
I've been to one Flyers game before. That's it.
So we were at the hockey game until about 9:30. The hockey game went into overtime, so they had 5 minutes, you know, of over. And of course, Charlotte won. Woohoo! And then we came back, waited another few minutes, and then we met some friends of ours out at a club where a friend of mine is starting to DJ every Saturday night. So it was a long, long day on Saturday. And then today we got up, went to Costco, and did, you know, all the domestic things.
Sounds like fun.
So that was my weekend, whirlwind.
Well, what did I do? Saturday, my partner had a little home things to do at somebody's house, so we went and did that, and then we went to a haunted hotel called the Brick Hotel in Newtown. We went there to film for a TV show. It was very, very interesting. We went with some ghost hunters.
Uh-huh.
So we had some, like, we had this machine called an EMF that kind of, like, it had lights on it, and it would light
wait,
up.
Wait, wait, wait. Stop. Hold on. You were on Ghost Hunters?
No, I was with a ghost hunter. They're called the Garden State Ghost Hunters.
They were videotaping ghost hunters?
They are ghost hunters. And they
it's
not the ghost hunters.
Oh, okay. Now I'm less interested.
it's the same ones that we went into the East Bay Penitentiary if you saw the one overnight that we spent the two nights in. It's the same, they're called the Garden State Ghost Hunters. And you know, it was really cool. They invited me and, you know, my partner Joe along, and it was really interesting. We caught some orbs on film. The coolest thing is you go down this, like, wind down this really dark, kind of dreary road, and yesterday, you're on the East Coast, it was pouring, right? I mean, for me, it was. Was it pouring where you are yesterday?
No, it's actually cold.
Okay, well, it was pouring all day, like a downpour here yesterday. And we passed all these crops. I guess they were like corn or whatever it was. It was just, you know, just all standing there, all these crop fields. And you see where this guy went and made a left-hand turn and didn't cut the wheel enough and drove into the crops. and then drove out of the crops. Like, you could see where his car went in and where his car came out. It was very, very interesting. But we went and did that, and then today he had another event at a place in Jersey that we went and held. It was very interesting.
Fun.
Yeah, but,
fun,
you know,
stuff. I love that. I do love Ghost Hunters. I think Ghost Hunters is a great show.
Yeah, they're neat. They stay the night over in the East Bay. They do a lot of that live stuff, right?
Yeah, they do some of the live, and they use the EMF meters, and they use, you know, all that stuff.
Right, well, that's what he was using, and he would ask him questions, and then he would light it up and stuff like that. He'd be like, you know, Mr. Davis, were you hung here? And then it would light up for yes and not light for no. He would, like, wave his hand in front of it. It was really cool. I can't wait to see the footage on that. All the fun stuff I get to do, you know. But real quick, I wanted to touch base on what's going on the Paz IM community. We are now up to 240 members. We have 5 new members join this week. If you haven't already, introduce yourself in the forum. I'm actually going to be doing a forum makeover, believe it or not. And I'm going to be adding some more things for people to share more instead of. It seems like they don't really use the discussion boards too much. So I want to do it where people can just, like, post their story, post, you know, a little introduction about themselves, make it more personal so people can connect better. So I'm just trying to get the site more active. I also am going to be adding this section. It's going to be called Reviews right now, but it's going to allow you to place your support group, where you go for your support group in your area, and it'll allow new members who are maybe newly diagnosed to be able to find support in their area. Like, if they live in your area and you post where you go to your support group, they can go and, you know, there's links for the website, the day that it is, the time that it is, directions, and it even throws in a Google map that shows you exactly where it is in the area. So that's going to be kind
cool.
of interesting. Yeah, I thought that would be kind of cool to help people find support groups. And then I was going to also do it with, you know, some people's favorite AIDS organizations and stuff like that. Like, of course, you know, you could put HI Victorious up there and stuff like that. And, you know, the one that I know here is the Get Real Philly. Just different things up there that you can, you know, I mean, represent that are your, you know what I mean, your favorite stuff that you can recommend to other people in your area who might not know that. So I'm just trying to make it more personal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Creepy.
Nice.
You know,
more.
You know why it's creepy, right? Because
yeah.
you can actually plug, you can actually find people's houses on like Google Maps.
Well, yeah, you can do, but this is for, you know what I mean, certain things, not for your house.
Okay. Okay,
and
good.
Don't put, I'm not putting your house address up there.
Well, you never know.
No, I'm talking about, like, I added one, and it's called the Manzoni Center. And it shows me, like, a map of Philadelphia, and then it shows me Chestnut Street. It's a little,
that's,
you know.
Cool.
Yeah, just like as if you would Google it. So I think that'll just, you know.
Did you, have you seen the new Google Maps? And then I'll get into some news stories here in a second. But did you see how on Google Maps that you can do Street View? And it's actual image?
Yeah,
and you actually
the Google
see
Earth.
This, well, I think it uses Google Earth, but it's actually on the street level. So you can see the building. You can see your house if you plug it in. You can see it. It's actually, it's cool yet creepy all at the same time.
Yeah.
Thinking that, wow, they can see me on a satellite. Oh, God. Let me go get my tinfoil hat and put it on right now so they can't read my brain thoughts. You know. But tonight's going to be a great show, Rob, because I haven't been able to actually say a complete sentence all day. it's been one of those days. And poor Mark, I would try to say something earlier today, and he would look at me and finish my sentence because I couldn't get the word out. I'm like,
you know what I mean.
That's what I would, yeah, exactly. You know, that thing. So here's a talk show, everybody, and one of the co-hosts cannot talk. But,
just real quick before you start the news, I just want to let people know who are listening that they can also, the past shows that you may have listened to before, you can leave a comment and rate the shows. That helps us show up, you know what I mean, in more searches. So if you rate the show, and you can't just rate it. You have to actually leave a text comment as well, you know what I mean, for each individual show that you've listened to that you may have liked or this show when you're done. But it just helps us, you know what I mean? Show
right. And if you don't like the way I sound, don't leave a comment. You know, it's kind of like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. But
yeah, please.
Yes.
So go on, what's up? What did you find in the news this week?
Well, I think a big story that, and I think you wanted to touch on this a little bit later, but is the bone marrow transplant. So I think that's the really big story that's going on right now. Even though it's an isolated case, it's individual to this one particular person. We don't want to get overly excited about one thing, but it gives us a new and interesting direction to go in.
Expensive too.
What's that?
I said it's expensive too, isn't it?
Well, not only is it expensive, but bone marrow transplants tend to kill 20 to 30% of the patients that actually come through it. So that's a high mortality rate for me. And two, what the bone marrow transplant does is they go through and they use heavy radiation. They kill your entire immune system, and then you have to find a match for your own bone marrow, so you have to find a bone marrow match, and then they transplant that into you. And where they transplant it is usually in your leg bone, in your femur, in your thigh bone. It's not a pleasant operation. And especially in this particular case, what everybody's trying to make the point of is, one, that this guy, he had leukemia, and so they were going through the HIV infection. He also was HIV positive as well, but the transplant and the HIV cure, if you will, was a byproduct of that. So the other issue is that the guy or the person that our patient matched with happened to have a genetic predisposition that allowed, the donor. See what I mean? I can't speak tonight. The donor had a predisposition or a mutation in his and was had a, has a resistance to the HIV infection, which is why the patient who received the recipient of the bone marrow transplant seems to have been testing negative for the last 2 years. So there's still a lot to work out there.
And they've tested him a couple times, right?
They've been testing for the last 2 years. So
right.
Quite often, it's not just once, not just twice, but he's going in for lots and lots and lots of tests. So
very
I had to take a sip of something there for a minute.
And it just goes to show you what could work for one person might not work for everyone. So
And again, he wasn't going to do it because of his HIV. He was going to do it because he had leukemia.
Right.
So, and leukemia, a lot of leukemia patients do go through bone marrow transplants when and they're costly and dangerous and something that shouldn't be decided upon willy-nilly. So not all of us are eligible for bone marrow transplants because we might not have a match out there. And once you're on a donor list, it could take years before you do get a match. But there is talk out of all of this. I was reading through some articles today about it, and one of the things that are coming out of this is where they want to look is at the replication of HIV, of course, and part of that is having a CCR5, which is a receptor on the cell of a T cell. You have receptors that lob that glom onto viruses and bacterium and things like that. That's how CD4 T cells battle the infections that come into your body, is they lob, they glom onto it using this receptor, if you will. So if you think of the space station, right? The International Space Station that's in orbit, and
right,
the space shuttle. So think of the space station as being a CD4 cell, and think of the space shuttle as being the HIV or another type of virus or bacteria or something like that. And what happens is you've got the space shuttle, and it's got a little door on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the space shuttle pulls up to the space station, and the space station has a receiving dock. And so the space shuttle has to latch itself onto the receiving dock in order for the crew to go in and out of it, right?
Yeah.
So if the HIV is the space shuttle and the CD4 the CD4 count is the space station, the HIV attaches itself to the loading dock or the receiving dock, which is called this receptor, and then that way the genetic material can pass through that receptor and into the CD4 count. There's your science lesson for everybody. So what they're talking about is CD4 cells have a predominant receptor called a CCR5. And the majority of HIV patients have this receptor. I think almost all patients have this receptor. And if you can block, if you close the door, if you will, and lock it, it will block the genetic material from getting in. So that's what some of these, what is it called? CellCentury, the Maraviroc, that new drug that was just, that the FDA approved just recently, that's what that drug does, is it blocks the genetic material from going in and out, and so which inhibits the HIV cell from replicating. Boy, this would turn into the science guy's hour, didn't it? So it blocks the HIV from making copy of itself.
Right. Well, real quick, I just want to say hi to some people that just jumped into the chat room. Yelly, she's from the site. She's a first-time listener tonight. So, hey, Yelly. Linda just popped in. We have a guest. Of course, Bob, One Tough Pirate's here. We have a new guy, Tomek, if I'm saying it right. I know I met him on another astrologer show on Blog Talk Radio. I believe it was 2 days ago, so... he has his own show. I missed it today because I was working, but I believe it was sometime today. Tomek, if you're in there, you can give yourself a little plug in the chat room so people can find your show. I just wanted to say hi to everybody. If you have a question or you want to share your story, give us a call. It's 347-215-9442. If you don't want to call in because you're embarrassed, type your question in the chat room. Sorry to cut you off there, Jeremy.
Yeah. You saw what I wrote in there, right?
Yeah.
And I think you want me to shut up. I was seeing the
big
horn.
And Russ just popped in, too. Sorry.
So anyway, so that's what's really kind of going on in the news.
Just the bone marrow.
About the bone marrow. So there's a lot to be studied, I think. You know, there's a lot of new studies to do, and a lot more research. There was a question came through: is how did they know that the donor was immune? The donor is really not immune per se. He's got a genetic mutation that makes him resistant to the virus. So there is a 3% of the European population, I think it's 3%, something like that, a very small, minute percentage of the population of Europe that actually has this mutation, that has this genetic mutation that makes them immune
to, or not immune, but resistant to HIV virus. They've also been able to trace that back to the Middle East as well. So they know it's there. They see this mutation out there, but I don't think they quite have unraveled that riddle yet.
One of the things I saw in the article was that they were going to test, I think, 80 people to match them, and the 61st person, which
right.
is the person that matched his, you know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it matched
the bone marrow type, yeah.
Yep.
Another thing we wanted to touch base on was the Prop 8 thing, right?
Oh, yeah, Proposition 8.
Your phone keeps
yeah.
cutting out, so I don't know if they hear that online, but.
I'm cutting out?
Yeah, I don't know if you were moving or had it on your shoulder or what, but.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Is everybody can hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Yeah, Proposition 8. Wow. What an amazing, just the whole backlash that's happened.
I'm baffled. It is baffling.
But. It doesn't surprise me the lengths that the folks went through in California to denounce gay marriage and what they did is just beyond disgusting. I mean, they went so far as to saying that if Proposition 8 failed in California and gay marriage was allowed, then schools were going to teach kindergartners about gay sex. I mean, that's really those were the tactics that the opposition.
Their commercials were pretty bad.
The commercials, the print, the whole campaign just got ugly. So, as you are probably aware, on Saturday, November 15th, cities all over the country, thousands of cities all over the country held protests. And Charlotte was one of them. We had about 200 people show up, and that was an amazing thing.
They had a whole bunch of them all over the news. I was talking to, who was it? I think it was Dino, one of the members, you know, Dino, and he... He was saying, because he lives in California, how, like, it was every other day. It was, like, Friday night it was in one place, you know what I mean? And then Saturday it was another place, and then Sunday it was another place. So they just went from city to city to city protesting it. And I'm so surprised of all the states that California really passed that. I was baffled because, to me, California, I think of Laguna Beach. I think of California being, like, upbeat and way far advanced like New York is. You know what I mean? Like, I would just think that of all the places, it wouldn't pass there. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. And it did shock everybody. And I heard a great soundbite. From one of the folks that was participating at Charlotte's protest, or rally, I should say. And he said, we sat by and felt that California was going to lead us there. And then it just, look what happened. So we have to start, and I'm paraphrasing here, we have to be the change that we want to see, and we can't allow someone else to try to lead us to it. So it's true. We have to, you know, we have to start talking with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family about it, because it's not about special rights. It's about equal rights. It's about being treated equally under the law. And it's the opposition that wants to give special rights to gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgendered and questioning folks, GLBTQ. I think I got everybody there. but it's about, you know, there are, I think, 500 or 600 rights that a civil union or a domestic partner grant you, there are 1,600 rights that marriage gives you. And, you know, I pay my taxes just like everybody else. I should be able to have the same protections and rights afforded to me that, you know, everybody else does.
Absolutely.
So,
same thing
with Proposition 8.
Right. That's what I say here, because, like, we pay school taxes. You know what I mean? But I can't get married and have kids. So
right.
Why am I paying school taxes for your kids? You know, it just gets into the whole, and I think I saw it was Melissa Etheridge who said, what if I don't pay my taxes until they pass it and say I can get married? Like, you can take my taxes, but you can't allow me to get married. And she was talking
right.
about how difficult it is for her and her wife to have to sit down and do, like, they can't file tax returns together because they're not legally married. So it seems
right.
like it's more extra work for her accountant and different things like that. But it's just, it was very interesting. I saw her on Oprah, and she was talking about how she couldn't believe it. And I'm still shocked to this day that there's so many people in the world. With the way the world has evolved from when I was a little kid, I'm shocked that many people are against it. I really am.
Yeah.
I think, and they were talking about some controversy about how they possibly switched it up and said, you know what I mean, instead of saying, say yes for gay marriage, it would say yes for no gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How it was
yep.
kind of like worded differently that it confused people sometimes.
Right. And I have to say, I love, I love the, one of the other signs that I saw as well says, I didn't vote on your marriage. You know, but people don't think that way, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, it's truly tumultuous times that we live in. That was
know.
Wise, and yeah.
One day, you'll see.
One day.
It'll come around.
I'll be 74 years old, and now I'm going, oi, do you remember sitting out there and listening, watching California? Do you remember that? God.
Right? That's funny. Good. Remember when we couldn't get married? Now they're marrying horses and stuff.
Oh, God, don't say that. Because that's exactly, you know. Well, and what's horrible is they did bring that. You know, they likened gay marriage to a man having sex with an animal.
Right.
They did. You know, it's disgusting. It's beyond bizarre what people, you know, it's like, get out of my bedroom. Get out of my life. Let me do what I want. You know, it's me and my partner. We're paying rent. We pay our taxes. We pay the electric bill. You know, then I don't want to pay for the school bonds anymore because I don't have kids.
Right.
You know?
And the thing is it's not, we're not fighting for gay rights. We're fighting for a civil right.
Equal rights.
Right. It's something that should
be treated equal.
Be. Right. And I have something
exactly.
special over and beyond what you have.
Right.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah, those people, I tell you.
So, anybody interested in calling, you can go ahead and give us a call, 347-215-9442. If we don't get any calls, we'll just keep chatting. Linda,
so, folks.
Right, Linda has a comment in here. It's kind of funny. She says, a Mormon can have several wives, but a gay person can't marry their partner. Like, it just makes you think.
Oh, God. They outlawed that. They can't do that anymore. That's funny. Oh, God. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, golly. Oh, so what next, Robert? Where do we go in this world?
Right.
Where are we going, huh?
I can touch a little bit on the book club that we started that nobody seems to be involved in but me. I don't know. Nobody responds, but we started a book club so people can I want to go. I'm very hard and very picky when it comes to books. I buy tons of books, and I can't read them because I lose interest very easily. If it's not something I'm very focused on, like tons of books I buy, and I can't fully read them. And literally, I bought The Naked Truth, Marvel and Brown, and I literally read it from one end to the other end in seriously less than 2 weeks. And that's not like me. I haven't read a book in 10 years. You know what I mean? And I was so absorbed. I was so, like, infatuated with it. It was just, I found myself, okay, white guy from Philadelphia in the city finds himself relating on multiple things with an African-American woman in Tennessee. Two different walks of life, and there's so much. And, like, that's what's so great about why I wanted to start this, you know, website, Pause I Am, because I wanted people to share their stories. And I read her story, and I just couldn't believe how much I saw myself in her. And we're from two different angles of the earth. It's just amazing that once people open up and share their story, you can find yourself if you just look. You know what I mean? It was amazing. I'm reading it now for a second time. I'm on chapter 5, and it's touching. She touches deep about a lot of issues. She went to her prom, I think, by herself, I believe. And she has, the cutest thing about it is she has pictures of her growing up, like when she was a baby. And I think it's the cutest thing. I love watching, you know, somebody I know and watch them as a baby and then at their prom and then at their graduation and pictures of their family. It's just very, like, family-oriented book, but there was so much in it. She got to a point to where she, you know, she lost her friend in high school who committed suicide. She lived in a car in Walmart parking lot for, like, a while. She, you know what I mean, went living in her car. So it was, like, very touching and very personal. So if you haven't already, go out and get it. The Naked Truth by Marvelyn Brown. It's an amazing story. And I just was telling Yelly about it the other night because it's so great to me. I just want more people to read it. It's not a book that, like, my mom would go read. And I went and got her a copy. And I'm like, Mom, you're going to read this book. You know what I mean? So she started reading it now. And I'm just like, cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my mom's going to read it. Like, I was surprised.
I was going to say, I didn't think you got books without pictures, but I guess you do.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I actually read the book. My friend Tracy, who, you know, she's a member here, and she went on the walk with us, and she's like, I can't believe you read that book. She's like, I'm so proud of you. Like, she wanted to go out and get me Mickey Mouse ears and stuff. Like, she couldn't believe that I did it. It was funny.
Open it, turn the pages, read the things, and yes.
Yeah, but I lose interest. And I guess because I could relate so much to her, I kept wanting to read and wanting to read more. It was very.
No, I think you hit on something there, Rob, is it's, I think all of us, we have very similar experiences or similar stories, I should say. And especially this one thing that connects us is this HIV thing. And it's kind of amazing that, you know, we all are born into this world naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we come kicking and screaming into this world. And it's an amazing adventure how the different paths that we choose to take in our lives. And there's a lot to be said for that, I think. I mean, there's a lot to be said for the things that we choose and how our experiences shape us. And, I mean, I can tell you, 10 years ago, okay, 10, 13 years ago. God, I am old. 13 years ago. Oh, well, hell, 20 years ago. When, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm in my bedroom. I'm a teenager. I had no idea where I was going to be. A few years later, you know, it's, you know, high school's over. College is over. What do I do? You know, I worked in retail for a while. I didn't know where I was going to land. I didn't know what I was going to do. I worked in a hospital for a while. I was on a TV show for crying out loud. I did theater. I did a couple of movies. You know, I did these things, and I had no idea where I was going to land. And even today, you know, I'm 33, and I'm soon to be 34. I'm sitting in my apartment. I look around, and it's like, wow, look at where I am today. And on top of all of it, it's like, not only am I managing, you know, a 50, 60-hour-a-week job, full-time job, but, you know, I've got a website that I'm working on. I've got this show that I do an hour, you know, every week. I volunteer. I manage all of that. But, and on top of that is I'm managing HIV and hepatitis C. Today I just updated my medic alert information because it was a little out of date. And I was writing out my medications and making sure I had everything because, you know, in case, you know, I'm like conked over the head or something, you know, people can find out where I'm supposed to be and what medicines I'm supposed to be on.
What?
I just sat back and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm managing all of this for now. And I've been wondering, you know, a little bit thinking, where would I be today had I not made some of the choices I had made 10, 12 years ago? You know, how different my life would be. And it's, or how, where would I be today if I hadn't stopped with acting and done, you know, and really pursued that and really did it? You know, where would I be? What would I be doing? Where would I be living? What, you know, you just think about all of these things like, wow, what a different life I would have. And I got to tell you, for all the drama that I've been through, for all of the strife that I've gone through, and even this HIV thing, it's really changed me for the better. Oh God, I'm going to start singing a song from Wicked now. You know? it's not defining who I am, but it's definitely a part of me, and it's something that I keep in the back of my mind all the time, this whole HIV thing. And it just, it makes me stop and think for a little while that, gosh, where would I be? What would I be doing today?
I try not to look into the past. Try to keep my head forward. I can't change all that bull crap. I try to look forward and I try to stay focused on what I'm doing now, because if I look back and dwell on all that, you kind of, I emotionally get stuck in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get stuck feeling bad for myself, and I don't feel bad for myself because I feel like I'm in a pretty good place. You know,
well,
what I mean?
You know,
like, is that something that you just, like, recently, like, came to terms with, that you think that it changed you for the better?
No. I've come to terms with that. You mean the HIV thing?
Yeah.
When I was first diagnosed, you want to hear the story?
Yeah, I want to know, right, like, did you just recently discover this in yourself?
No. I think about 6 months after my diagnosis, I realized that I needed to change, and I needed to change for the better. And I wanted to do something that was, you know, civically minded, if you will.
Mm.
I wanted to use my and share my story for I wanted to use my powers for good and not evil.
I agree with you.
You know, there's a responsibility that I felt that I had attained, and I wanted to be a good person and be a good American and be a good neighbor and be a good citizen with it. And so it's the whole, you know, I look at HIV, I described HIV one time to a friend of mine. I said, you know, HIV is like a
It's like a bad tenant who lives in an apartment building. So he pays his rent. He never takes the garbage out. He, you know, he's always leaving the room a mess, but he lives there. And you acknowledge that he lives there, but you always walk by the door, and you hold your nose because you know it's going to smell really bad when you walk by. And, you know, there's stuff all over his door. You know he's in there, but you never see him, but you know he's there. So that's how I describe my little HIV virus. And I'm just a landlord at this point. And I'm just, you know, it's like you can either try to deal with it and, or you can, you know, or you can let him take over, and you can be the apartment manager and the landlord and manage the apartment building and make sure, you know, that all of the other tenants are happy, or you can let that one tenant ruin everything. And I've decided to, you know, take the upper hand, if you will.
Right.
And, you know, that's all positive thinking, you know, and, you know, I'm not big on, you know, new age thinking, but it is, it's, I think you make of it what you will, right? And so I decided to just take the bull by the horns, not to be cliche, but to do something positive with all of it, and to do something good with all of it, just that's why I created Positively Speaking, because there's so much of a stigma, you know, hovering over HIV. And when I tell people that I'm HIV positive, you know, it's a lot of folks just go, "Oh, cool. Okay, would you like a beer?" And some people say, "Well, you don't look sick." You know, it's interesting still to see some of the reactions that I get. But, you know,
I think, you know, one of the main reasons that we do this radio show and we have our website and put our story out there is we want to show people that life isn't over. Like, just because you get HIV does not mean that now you stop and you become a hermit and you don't do anything but worry about your health. I mean, of course, me and Jeremy worry about our health, but we go to the doctors, you know, we get our checkups, we go in and get our flu shots and get our blood drawn and things like that. Like, I can't dwell on it. I don't want to speak for Jeremy, but I just can't sit there and dwell on it. You know what I mean? Like, I have to push it aside and just be like, okay, I have it. It's not the end of the world. I'm still here. Like, I wake up tomorrow, and guess what? I still have it. And I wake up tomorrow, and guess what? I still have it. It's not going anywhere, so I don't think about it. You know what I mean? Unless there's a reason
exactly.
for me to think about it.
You know, exactly. You know, every morning that I get up and my feet roll off the bed and I touch the carpet, that's a damn good day, you know?
Yeah.
Every day, you know, it's funny because my coworkers, I have to share this. My coworkers, I have one coworker who says to me, she says, "Jeremy, every day you come in here, you smile, you have a good attitude, no matter what happened the previous day." And I said, "Well, the reason why is because it's today, it's not yesterday. I learned what happened yesterday." Although Mark will probably attest to that sometimes I'll do things over and over and over again, but and not learn. But but you know, it happened yesterday, so I need to, you know, sometimes it's easier said than done. But
right.
I have to think like that. Otherwise, I would probably sit here, curled up on my couch, you know, and shut all the lights off, and, you know, and be a hermit, and really just
take a deep dive into my head and think of, why did I do this? How could I have done this to myself? You know, all those questions that I had when I was first diagnosed. It's like, oh, God, how could I let this happen to me?
Right.
And never pull out of that. But I had to make that choice to throw my feet on the floor, feel the carpet every morning, and get up and walk out. Now, I'm not saying that it's always been a walk in the park physically. I mean, I got really sick. Oh my God, it'll be 2 years in May. So it's been about a little over a year and a half. I got really, really sick. And, we'll just flat out say it. I almost died. if I had not called a friend of mine to take me to the doctor, and take me to the hospital, they would have found me dead in my apartment that weekend. I had a really bad infection in my blood. And because of my HIV, I was unable to, you know, really fight it and keep it out. So I was in the hospital for a little over a week, you know. And then I was on an IV, a PICC line. I've been on two. Thank you very much. Love those things. Get to hook yourself up to an IV for 14 days. PICC line story. All right. So on my first PICC line, and listeners,
Explain to people what a PICC line is, because for some reason I don't know what a PICC line is.
Okay. A PICC line is a peripheral intravenous catheter, something or other. And it's what they do is they go in and they put a catheter into a vein.
Okay.
And so you have this little like a little port hanging out of your arm. And what you do, and it's mainly for delivering intravenous meds when you're out of the hospital. So a lot of cancer patients have them when they're going through chemo for their meds to be delivered when they're not in the hospital. They do infusions through them. And so I was using it for bacterial stuff. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at the chat room because
yeah, I'm watching you too.
Sorry about
that. So is
oh,
it only
God.
Something that you have out of the hospital, Jeremy, or is that do they do that in the hospital too? Because when I was on a tripla for a week and I broke out with those hives, the allergic reactions to the sativa, they had something like that inside me where they would flush my system out with the meds.
Yep.
They
can do it in the hospital usually, but usually they give you a PICC and then they send you home.
Right.
And you go in and either you can do I did the IV at home. I've had a couple different ones. And the first one that I had was actually I had to wear a pump 24 hours a day for 14 days. And
you say you wore pumps?
No, a pump.
I know, I was kidding.
but I do wear pumps sometimes.
On Thursdays.
On Thursdays I do. Exactly. But no, it's a so I would put the a traditional IV bag that uses what I'm talking about, right?
Right, yes.
Okay. So I would have to put that into like a fanny pack thing, and it had had a cat pump that would pump the drug every like 10 minutes or so through the IV.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to wear that lovely apparatus. So here I am. I'm going to work, mind you. This was the first time. And I have tubes hanging out, and I'm having to wear big jackets and hide this tube. it was just awful. So yeah, and so one guy, he goes, Jeremy, are you being a tourist? I didn't know you had a fanny pack. And so I got really bad about it, and I said, no, it's not a fanny pack. And I unzipped it and I showed him what it was. He goes, oh my God, I didn't know you were sick. Oh, I feel so bad. Yeah, and I said, you'll never say that again, will you, buddy? But that was always fun. And then the second time I had it, I had it wasn't gravity. It was a ball. It was a medicine ball that I had to hook up once a day. And it was had like a little vacuum seal. Once you plugged it in, it sucked it all the stuff out. So that was fun. And it was in the middle of, it was the beginning of summer. And so, and I had to keep the meds in the refrigerator. So I was hot one day and I said, I'm not going to wait till it's so cool. I'm going to see what this feels like. So I hooked it up when it was still cold right out of the fridge.
Oh,
and ooh, that was nice and chilly.
Leave it to you, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, internal air conditioning.
Yeah. That's really.
But, you know, it's, so anyway, I digress. So, you know, I got sick, but I got over it. I did what I was supposed to do. I got better. I'm healthy now. Healthy, fairly healthy. And, and I eat way too much. God, do I
don't think it was your time.
What's that?
It just wasn't your time to go.
You know, I've eaten half a chocolate cream pie that's in the fridge, and I think Mark's had one piece. And I love pie.
Oh my God, my partner made this pumpkin cheesecake from the pumpkins in the backyard, and it's banging with some Cool Whip and caramel. Oh, it's like a sin just eating it. But I think one of the things is the reason why you walk around with that smile, like when your coworker was asking you, is because you wake up every day and you're doing something good for the rest of the people in the world. Like you wake up and your website and sharing your stories and doing your speaking engagements and things like that. Those things that you're putting good out there. And it's karma, you know what I mean? If you put out good, you get good back. And I think when you put yourself out there and you're doing positive things, of course you're going to walk around with a smile on your face.
I tell you, I hope I'm getting good back. I'm working with my ASO, one of the ASOs here in Charlotte, and I'm going to be, looks like I'm going to be speaking on World AIDS Day, so.
Oh, great.
So that will be kind of good. Kind of. But, yeah, just lots of, just, you know, I think, you know, and again, I hate to be cliche, and I hate to sound like one of those, you know, those corporate speakers that come in and tell you how to, you know, have positive thinking in the office. But you do. You have to be the change that you want to see. And
mm-hmm.
And we can either continue to promote and perpetuate stigma, or we can fight the stigma every day just by getting up, putting a smile on our faces, and walking out that door and shaking hands and hugging people and saying hi. And that breaks down the walls of stigma so much more than me sitting here and talking about how how HIV replicates and loms on to a CD4 cell, you know, a CD4 cell
space
through
shuttle.
The... you know,
the space shuttle on Mars.
Exactly. I can bore you to tears with the science, or I can just be, you know, turn that science-y part off and
you know,
talk about humans, you know, and being human.
That's the best part, you know what I mean, for me. Like, that's just when I was sitting there before I started the website, or even before I think I even had the blog. I sat there and I thought to myself, what can I do that, one, I can't screw it up? You know what I mean? Like, tell my story. I can't screw it up. It's my story. I lived it. You can't tell me I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It was something that I couldn't really be critiqued on because it was my story. So I felt like this is something that I can do that I don't have to go to college for, because I didn't go to college. I don't need any certain degree to do this, and I can still make a change, you know what I mean, in the world or put positive out there to get it back for me.
Right.
I mean, that's what convinced me into doing it, because I was just, I mean, before I was a negative person. I was in relationships that cheating was involved, whether it was on me or you know, my partner at the time. It was always something, whether it was drugs. And it just seems like now that I put good out there and I'm doing good for other people, everything keeps coming back, and I'm, like, doing better than I ever was before. It's just really amazing how, like, you know what I mean, just doing positive things and being, like you said, being the change will make the change. You said it best.
You know, exactly. You've got to be the change that you want to see.
Who said that? That's a quote. Isn't that Gandhi?
I don't know.
I think so. Something like that. I think I've heard that before.
I have no idea who said that.
No, I really think it was Gandhi, I want to say.
It might have been.
Yeah, you know, one of those wise men.
It might have been. Or it could have been, you know, me. I'm wise.
Yes,
I'll take
are.
Credit. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it's, you know, living with HIV.
Yeah,
you're
you
living
know.
With it. That's the key point. You're living with it.
Right. You're not dying.
No. Well, we all are. I mean, there are two things in this life that are certain: death and taxes. And it's whatever you do, you know, it's whatever you do in between those times is what makes you the person you are. There. That wasn't Gandhi.
I know. I'm reading it. Who is it? Mahatma?
No, I just, you weren't even listening to what I just said, did you?
I thought you were talking about the chat room.
Uh-huh.
Somebody saying that it wasn't Gandhi, that it was Mahatma or whoever that is. But anyway, sorry.
Mahatma Gandhi, it's the same person.
Oh, then why are they saying it's not? Go on. See, I can't do two things at once. I'm done looking at the chat room. I love you guys, but I'm done.
Oh, no.
Right? Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes, so of course I want to give Jeremy, I want you to give yourself a little plug on your website and stuff like that too.
Okay. I would love for everybody to come out and check me out. Well, I mean, not check me out, but check out my website, www.positivelyspeaking.com. It's P-O-Z, positively with a Z. Positivelyspeaking.com. I have a blog out there. I put the shows, I put some shows out there. And let's see what else. I also throw some news out there.
And your stories out there.
My story is there. I just have a little snippet of me, of who I am, where I've been, you know, all that stuff. So come by, check it out, leave a comment on one of the blogs if you'd like, and it would be great. Great to have you by. Well, I'll make pie.
They're making fun of me because I didn't know that Gandhi and was the same person. Whatever, Linda. And if you're interested in checking out my website, it's PauseIM.com, and I have some information on there. You can go check it out. You can join the PauseIM community. You know, there's a lot of great people in there. Introduce yourself in the forum if you're a new member and you haven't yet, Bob. Also, since Bob's in the chat room, I'm going to give him a shout-out too. You can go and check out Bob Bauer's website at OneToughPirate.com. He's my hero.
In the last minute, I'm gonna tell Bob that I went as a pirate for Halloween. I don't know if you saw the pictures or not. Well, I'll have to put them on, you know, on Pause I Am. But I went as a pirate. But I was gonna get a big plastic butt and hang over my chest and go as a butt pirate, but I couldn't find one. I think that would have been funny.
That would have been hilarious. I saw your pirate picture.
I was sexy too. I really was.
Bob was a cuter pirate, sorry.
Oh, no. I was hot. I look like Sinbad.
Right. So we will see you guys all next Sunday. We're down to the last 10 seconds. Have a great night, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a good one, guys.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.